everyone. Thank you for joining us on this incredible platform, Encounter. You know that it is here where we get revelation, impartation, and equipping. My name is Leon DePrio from Encounter Church, from Encounter Christian Church, Encounter Global. You will see that this word will lift you, will empower you, will equip you. So I want you to stay tuned. Before that, go visit www.encounterchurch.co.za for any resources to give via any platform for any video resources. Become a part of this family. Become a part of this network. I can't wait to be with you today. This message is going to be pure revelation. Stay tuned, and I can't wait to see you get into the message. God bless you. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Say with me, live. Say walk. The Bible puts a differentiation between these two. There are people that live in the Spirit, and then there are those that are walking in the Spirit. Living is easy because if you get saved, you are born from above. Are you guys with me? But it takes a person to be sensitive, to say, I want to make my daily walk sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Ghost. Meaning, if I go into my closet, or if I wear something, let's say I come out and before I come and preach, I try to feel even what I should wear or not. Before you take a job opportunity, are you led by the Holy Ghost to do that? That's why many go for job after job after job and nothing is happening. Or many would try every business and nothing is happening because they lack sensitivity. There's a sensitivity that the Holy Ghost gives us that if we rest or we pull back, we can hear His voice. Go left or go right. Are you guys with me? You know, it's one thing to prepare for a sermon for long. It's another thing just to, you know, I have learned the art because of operations that we are trying to sort out. And we are busy sorting it out. Where, you know, I could only do or run finances or the operations of the church up until now. What I mean by that is, it's a lot of work, and it is Marie and them's gift, not my gift. But so I want to pull out of that because you know, for me to be able to bring you the word, I must be sensitive. Now, what this has trained me many times, people would think I preach long or so on, and I would come up with literally nothing. You know, I would come up and I would scroll like this, but scrolling through nothing. Or if you would sometimes just see me going silent, or you know, you would think I'm in the Spirit. I'm thinking, what verse next? Let's do that. I'm serious, okay? Because nothing wrong with it. That is how we should be. We should be able to preach at any time, in season and out of season. I said to the Krugersdorp Church, I said, this image you get on the internet where it's a highlighter and a Bible and a nice scenery and a cup of coffee, that is not of God. What I mean by that, it has never happened to me as a minister where I had people think, but that is a pastor's life. I wish. Are you guys with me? People think pastors only work on a Sunday. Oh my goodness. Look, everybody's sitting here. We have to deal with all your problems. Plus, those are just here that is here. That's not those that are also not church that might not be here tonight. And then those that are attacking us, and then this, and then that. It's very draining. But it's the best thing ever. But you can only do it if you're called, if you're sensitive. You know that I don't have to prepare. I can literally just go on my knees for a minute or two, and I can immediately switch my spirit to become sensitive. And I can hear one thing He wants to say to you. And that's what I've been doing for 2 years, basically, many times, especially in the evenings. There would be times on a Saturday morning that Sunday morning, I would come and preach here. 4 o'clock that morning, I would still be awake dealing with other stuff. Are you guys with me? And then while I'm doing that, I'm thinking, I got 8 o'clock service. What am I going to do? Which means it tells you, now I have a wealth of word inside of me. I can take every scripture and preach on it. Don't think that we are not doing our jobs. No, we were working hard to get the church to this place. Many churches take 10 years to get here, or 15 years to get here. We worked hard to get here. We discipled a lot of people. Now we got Krugersdorp coming. We got, I want to ask you as a volunteer on that side, a leader, come and volunteer. If you're a volunteer or a leader, I think it's this Thursday. We'll get the times through. But Tuesday and Thursday, I think, you know, but we'll get it through. through tomorrow, and Thursday I will be laying hands. It's not a public service, it's for the volunteers and leaders there. I'll be laying hands and anoint them there for the service there. In ministry cannot be done without people. Are you guys with me? The only thing that we have bred, unfortunately, I was speaking to some people, about sacrifice yesterday. Sometimes people in America, they don't like to, I know they're watching, they don't like to sacrifice. They really don't like to sacrifice. And I said, you know, power, there's a price to power. It's called sacrifice. I have flew from country or to America 10 times or however many times just to get importation on a salary that's not even 20,000 rand a month. Are you guys with me? And just because I'm hungry and I want to go get importation, many mocked me. I have even people in ministry that I still love and so on, they would say to me, Leon, friends and so on, Leon, you're just running after this one and that one and this one and that one. I said to them now, I said, look, now you know why I'm running after this one or that one. I run after the anointing. I don't run after this one or that one. There was, if I see that there's something that is anointed, I want to go get, you have to be drawn to the anointing. How is God going to move if a people isn't hungry for Him? When revival breaks out, a lot of us pray for revival, but that's every night. It can be 100 days, 180 days, 200 and something days. Every night we pray for revival, but will we be able to indulge or to sacrifice, meaning to go from work to service? That's how it happens when revival breaks out. Many ministers or ministers that have preached on here, on the pulpit, they'll say to me, oh, Leon, we need to do this every night. The anointing is here. And I'm thinking, but this is our normal level. I was speaking in the beginning. Someone came to us in the beginning and I said, look, no. I said, this is our Sunday night level. It might feel to you like it's revival, but it is, that's how it's normal by us. It's the temperature out there is not good when it comes to spiritual things. So say with me, walking in the Spirit. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God and suddenly he was not, for God took him. Are you guys with me? Where is it? I think it's Genesis chapter number 5, verse 24. Listen to this. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. The man had the ability to say, I want to walk so close to God that so much power is being imparted that it becomes illegal for me to be on the earth. God had to take the man because he operated and moved in too much power. And that I can prove out of scripture. Are you guys with me? His books were even removed out of the Bible because it looked like too much power. I'm going to say again. His books was removed out of the Bible. Now, I'm not saying it's now the inspired word, okay? Jude quotes where he says, even the archangel Michael did not say a railing accusation against Lucifer, against the devil, over the body of Moses. Are you guys with me? The sound is, it's good now, Tate. It's good if this frequency can be kept. Why did Archangel Michael not even give a railing accusation against, dare to bring a railing accusation against the devil? There were many reasons. And why was the devil wanting the body of Moses? That is a big question. Imagine you have the devil and you have Michael the archangel fighting over the body of Moses. Because Moses, when he encountered glory, the glory was in his body. And the devil knew he could use that for importation. You see, even Elisha, when he was buried, his bones were so anointed that when somebody touched, that was dead, touched his bones, the anointing came into them and they were raised from the dead. How much more Moses, that was more than 80 days. It was actually 40. He did three 40-day fasts. I know the Bible says two. He did three 40-day fasts, which means it's 120 days that he spent in the glory of God, where we saw the finger of God writing the Ten Commandments. Are you guys with me? A man who God said, I speak to him face to face. Did you not fear to come against him? For other prophets, I speak to them in visions and dreams and in parables and so on. But not so with my servant Moses. I speak to him face to face. So Enoch wrote the book of Enoch, and Jude quotes that verse out of the book of Enoch. Are you guys with me? I'm not saying the book of Enoch is inspired. Please don't go read it down, get a revelation. It's not going to work. It's not canon of scripture. Where we are standing right now, it's not canon of scripture. But they removed it because of it was too much demonstration of power. I think it was King James that had people remove certain things. I'm not exactly sure about the history, but when they decided on the canon of scripture, they took the book of Enoch out because it was too unreal. It was too fantasy-like. If you looked at the man's life, he walked with God, that he received so much power that God said, look, if you have to walk here and people will just look at you, dunamis power will hit their bodies because of how you're walking. The word, when it says for God took him, the word took means to intertwine and intertangle and become one. That he had so much power and so much of God that it was like when people, now when you take this verse in the Hebrew, that people would look at Enoch or they would look at God and they wouldn't know which is which. And God said, this cannot be Enoch. I'm taking you from this earth. You don't want to believe that, eh? Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. The word took, intertwined, and they became one. Because the man had a life that he gave to God fully. Every walk, every decision, every step, every person he speaks to, he walked with God. Say with me, sensitivity. There's a sensitivity to the Holy Ghost, that this is how it works in the anointing. If there's a sound problem, it affects me. If I walk in before a service and I have to greet a lot of people, somebody said to me, I won't mention their name, said to me, Leon, you know, when I was at the church, please, you know, come early and let's greet all the people. I said, look. I said, you do not understand me and you do not understand the prophetic. If I greet somebody, if I had an encounter with God or I carry the anointing and I look them in the eyes or I shake their hand, it drains the anointing. Any person will tell you that. I keep that for the service. Are you guys with me? When Jesus walks, a lady touched him and pulled power out of him. And he said, who touched me? And she pulled virtue out and he felt virtue leaving his body. So most ministers, they will look rude when they don't greet someone. It's not because they're arrogant. It's because you're trying to just, you just don't want to be distracted by flesh. So you just walk and you don't greet, and you can see that one is getting offended. And somebody else come and put their hand quickly in by you to try to, and you have to myself, but I'm just thinking, you know, and then people get offended. And I said, look at that arrogant writer now. I don't know. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Somebody called me Stephen Futrick of South Africa. I thought that is a good one. But anyway. And so arrogant and, you know, don't talk to people and this and that. And this stuff is going around. But the anointing is something different. If you know the anointing, yes, it is there for people, obviously, to minister to people. But when I have a service or I have to go and minister, especially when it comes to the prophetic, I try not to talk or see people or anything like that. It's called sensitivity. Are you guys with me? That is why I come in at worship. That is why, because I just try to be sensitive. Even when I'm sitting in the office, I do not talk or have a normal conversation. When your spirit switches, it's a spiritual thing, a decision you make. Let's, for example, say, I say to Martin, he needs to preach tomorrow night. He will take His spirit and He'll switch. Meaning that His family will think now He doesn't want to spend time with Him. Or He's not friendly. Or He's rude. No, it's because He switched and His focus is trying to be spiritual. To focus on what is coming up. Prophets will be told that they are rude or arrogant or depressed or bipolar because of up and down or antisocial. No, no, no. It's the anointing. I can promise you now, the anointing can kill you or it can make you. Are you guys with me? If the anointing is received too early, so again, feedback, guys. If the anointing is received too early, it'll kill a person. If the anointing gets too much or you get on a stage too early, it destroys people. I have experienced a lot of things. Even in my own life, I've seen where I've made mistakes. Every time I didn't listen or be sensitive to the voice of the Holy Ghost, I made a mistake. Are you guys with me? This is not a good sermon. I don't get response, eh? Are you guys with me? Is it boring? Is it bad? Bad? Am I bad? Oh, no, he's saying I'm bad. Or that you guys are bad. I know you're battling in your hearts because of what I said earlier. It's okay. A prophet will offend your mind to expose your heart. Just say to yourself, you just pat yourself on the back and just say, it is going to be okay. Okay? Let's do this. Go with me to Luke chapter number 10, verse 4. Luke chapter number 10, verse 4. Listen to this. Kofi, one verse back. Listen to this. Jesus is speaking to those He's sending out. He says, go your way. Go through from verse 1. Let's read from verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before His face into every city and place where He Himself was about to go. He sent them two by two. Next verse. Then He said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, I pray, say with me, the harvest is great. We need laborers. Look at me. For Krugersdorp, we need laborers. Not one church has risen up in Krugersdorp for a very specific reason. Are you guys with me? Not one church moving in the prophetic power has risen up in Krugersdorp. It's not because we're going to have such a great time there. Oh, no, no, there's a very weak reason. Because even as we just went in, threats came that they said, many, even one political party said, we will stop you from coming into the city. You see, when you have people send you messages every day, speaking how they will trace you and come and hunt you and kill you, or they will do this, or you are sensitive about who is in your home. Or when people say, I will shoot your daughter and rape this one, or they'll say, your end will be like this, little boy. The one email we got, give me a phone, an iPhone, please. Thanks. Open it. So, let me show you something. Is that okay? Switch off the camera and the... You can unmute, you guys can unmute and go on with the audio. There are many dangers. Not saying we don't have faith. No, even Jesus knew. Hey, I'm not in Jerusalem. I'm outside of Jerusalem. If I get killed outside of Jerusalem, I am not fulfilling Scripture. And He had to get people to protect Him. Are you guys with me? That is just normal. Now, those are the threats we get a lot. You know, when you get it in detail, then people would understand why we do certain things in a certain way. Why are we very... when it comes to security, or why don't we just meet anyone? Because there are people that hate the ground we are walking on. There are people right now that are praying for the church to be closed, even before it opened. Oh, there are people that said they will close it before it opens. Why? We must be some type of threat to the devil for him to do that. I have seen people plant churches and there will be no threat. They wanted to chase Jesus out of the cities. Think of it. Because of starting a political uprising in their eyes. Are you guys with me? we have threats. We have people saying stuff from political parties that I cannot tell you yet. The most ridiculous things that I would like, you know, I wish that some of them would be true, because that means that, you know, if they, you know, that at least it means that we might have millions, because if that is true, so you would think, you kind of like hope for this accusation to be right, because if it comes, at least let it be true to a degree that you can kind of like enjoy it anyway, you know. But that is the threat that comes. And that is why we have to be so sensitive. Everything, every decision that I make, you know, I would sit and I would know this one on my team, that one, this one, that one, that one has a threat on their lives. Or I would say to my team, we do like this, we drive like this, we do like that. We have seen people, it was in one meeting, the sound guy, hey? One night he messes up and this guy has bad attitude. Our guys have good attitudes. This guy had a bad attitude. And he's messing up with me and he's messing up. We get there the next day, we're driving there. And I say to this guy, I said to him, listen, you're playing with the anointing. And they mock and this and that. The next, second night that I'm preaching, were you there? Second night when I was preaching. Outside, as he walked outside, hit and run. There too, I'm getting there, they're like carrying him to hospital or something. Yeah, they wanted to stop the service. We had, these are things that goes on in the spirit that is much more than the natural. And the way you divert away or you dodge those things, say with his sensitivity. More than that, the sensitivity gives you the ability to make right decisions. Who to shake hands with or who not. Who to speak to, who to make a business deal. Who to be friends with, who to allow into your house or not. Who to even allow close to you or not. When you become a Christian, this whole thing shifts to spiritual. And Paul says our wrestle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. Meaning, listen, the attack you get, even if a person attacks you, it's not them. There's a spirit behind this thing that wants to stop prophets in this nation. So whether they attack false prophets or true prophets, they don't care. They throw them all into one bin. And that everybody can just see them all as false prophets. Because as long as the prophetic is attacked, prosperity is gone. And the devil knows it more than believers. Are you guys with me? You know, prophecy is great and laying hands, but I want to teach you. That is why you are shining and many of you are doing great things because of the teaching. We have, you know, You have seen us prophesy a lot, prophesy forensic, and that it's good, but that never builds up a person. The Bible says teaching builds you up. Prophecy edifies and builds up the church, but teaching builds up people. Are you guys with me? So when we can speak like this prophetically and you can understand it, and if you don't hear words, it's because there's still a veil, eh? But these are the reality of things. Then people might ask, but why this, why that? Why does God send people to us, even to bless us financially or to, you know, not, I don't think ever in my life, from the day that I started ministry and was sent out, did we ever look for or beg for anything? Never. Why? Because if I carry his word or if he has called me with a grace, he will send people to look after us. And people don't understand. People don't understand the attacks, the threats, how it hits us or our family or this or, you know, the biggest price in ministry that you pay, one of the biggest, is called fatigue. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm sure you are better than us out there. It's fatigue. It's we're taking on a city here. We're asking that... We're either going to have like 10 people attending or we're going to have like hundreds attending, like hundreds, if not thousands. I can tell you now, this first launch, that will happen. And just know that if you're part of this movement, you're causing a revival to come to a city. You know, listen to me and listen to my voice. If I'm hard or I rebuke, it's this thing, the prophetic, my team knows. They have seen me say stuff to them, to others. They have seen people turn like this in front of my eyes, in front of their eyes. Like in a meeting, in one meeting. It's the prophetic anointing. The devil hates it, and he hates it even more that we impart it to people. That you have the ability to catch this even as you're just sitting here. That you have the ability by legal right to say, I can tap into this gift, this mantle, and I can do the same, whether it is in your business or wherever. Say with this sensitivity. The move of God comes with sensitivity. Luke chapter number 10 verse 2. Listen to this. Laborers, so we need laborers in Kruger's talk. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send our laborers into the harvest. Next verse. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Next verse. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and so with me greet no one along the road. When I don't talk or greet people, it's because I am just ready for a mandate that I have to do first. When I come back, I can greet. Are you guys with me? That is why I expect those who are mature, even if I don't greet them, they don't take offense. And I told you the whole thing. If people are fleshly, I must go and hug them. If they are soulish, I can maybe like just like, you know, nod my eyes at them. If they're spiritual, I can just walk and I can just walk away. And they'll know that's fine. They mature. Jesus said, greet no one along your way. Why? Because I'm sending you on a mission that is focused and single. People will do anything to get to me. They'll come to those that are closest or around me. Okay. They'll send women to those that are closest to around me. That's too much now, hey? That is way too much. Let's go to the scripture. Hebrews 3 verse 15. Hebrews 3 verse 15. I don't want to go on until too late. We have some sound complaints and so on. Hebrews chapter number 3 verse 15. Listen to this. While it is said today, if you will hear His voice, say with me, if. That means there's a thing where I must do something. It's not everybody can hear His voice. Oh no, there's a condition to this. If you hear His voice, do not harden. Say with me, harden. Do not harden your hearts. As in the day of rebellion. This verse tells me anybody whose heart is hardened has rebellion in them. Rebellion stops God from moving or even looking at them. Rebellion was the sin that caused Lucifer to be kicked out. So people say, you know, this guy with a what did I do? A manifesto. The word manifesto comes from the word manifest. You write a manifesto. Not, oh yes, and we copied like three quarters of it. We wrote one for a prophet. Dear God, it's still trending in America. They have to block every day people because of it. We wrote a manifesto of a pastor. Nothing wrong. No one says nothing. The pastor is I in. The evangelist, nobody says anything. It's great. This is so beautiful. This is great. I write a manifesto as a prophet, 3 o'clock in the morning, just because I want to. And they're still in like newspapers there. In America, there's a newspaper, and I was speaking to somebody yesterday. This thing is like, and they, so the one shame, the one huge church in this nation, this pastor said to me, you're Lucifer. Okay. God bless you. You know, they said, when I look at this eyes, I can just see the evilness pouring out of you. When I look at the smile, I'm thinking, yo, okay. Look, a manifesto is to say everybody can take and put their name on it. That's what a manifesto is. It is a decree. It is a prophecy. It comes from a political, really, if you look at the history where a manifesto comes from, it's to declare something. And that just showed, now obviously many people liked it, but in America they hated it. Oh my goodness. So, and then people said in South Africa, run from that guy. I saw it yesterday or the day before. Run. He's a Stephen Footrick in South Africa. I thought, okay, I don't like Stephen Footrick. He doesn't move in power, but he's a great guy. But he doesn't move in power. But I thought one book sale, he built a huge house for him. They can compare me to him. It is nice. But they put us next to Kenneth Copeland and this and that. Persecution. Beware. If all speak well of you, the scripture says. Beware if all, when people speak bad of you, you know you're doing something right. Are you guys with me? Persecution just means that there's a realm of a move of God that is coming. And the devil is upset. He destroyed babies when Jesus was born to stop what God was going to do. He destroyed and killed children again when it was through Pharaoh, when Moses was born. Every time the devil would read prophecies about a deliverer of Moses coming to Egypt, they would study it. Herod went and studied the prophecies about Jesus. Even he had his wise men to speak to him about these things. Are you guys with me? His, what is it called, wise men? Wise men come to speak to him. So that, why? Because he read the prophecies and he knew a revival was coming. Jesus as a savior was coming. So the only way he can stop this, he doesn't know where he is. It was only revealed, really, who Jesus was at the day when the baptism of the Holy Ghost came upon him. When Jesus went to submit to a ministry of a prophet, did the devil know that's where he is? Then you see how the devil now comes to him for the first time in his life into the wilderness. Are you guys with me? But for him to try to stop that thing, he had to kill a blanket of people when children. And Herod killed many. Why? Hoping he could hit Jesus. And God would come into dreams. So go to this country, do this, do that, go to this town, leave the city. When a move of God is prophesied, let me tell you, the devil knows about Paracrol and Krugersdorp revival. That was not just prophesied by some guy around the corner. This was a known prophecy that many ministers know about. That is why we kept it secret. You know, I was when we did it, I said to someone very well known, and you know, I said, look, we're doing this. They said, where is it? I said, I don't know, Krugersdorp. They said, is it by the Paracrol Monument? I said, yes, we're next to it. And they said, that is where William Branham prophesied. And I remember, and this thing came back to me. I was like, and when you stand on the church building, you will see the Paracrol Monument here. Walking out of us into that. So, and all God needs, He needs a group of volunteers. People that are saying, it doesn't matter what our friends or our family or the news or whatever is going to say. We believe in the move of God, in the anointing that is in this place. You can give God to others even there. But you will see attacks coming, major attacks. Are you guys with me? You'll see major attacks coming, but that is okay. So where were we? Today, do not harden your hearts as in the day of rebellion. So through the sensitivity of the Holy Ghost. I had so many things to say to you, but I want to go to just one thing. Let me just see. Go with me to Genesis chapter number 8, verse 6. And I want to pray for you. And we can't do too long because of time. Genesis chapter number 8, verse 6. Are you guys with me? Give me 1 minute. Are you with me? So it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. Next verse. Then he sent out a raven, kept going to and fro until the waters dried up from the earth. We think he sent out a dove. He first sent out a raven. Go for the next verse. Then he also sent out from himself a dove. He first sent out a raven. A raven is a selfish animal. Are you guys with me? But then Noah became sensitive and he sent out a dove to see if the waters had receded from the face of the ground. Next verse. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot, and she returned into the ark. She came back, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her and drew her into the ark to himself. Next verse. And he waited yet another 7 days, and again he sent the dove out from the ark. Next verse. Then the dove came to him in the evening, and behold, a freshly plucked olive leaf was in her mouth, and no one knew that the waters had receded from the earth. Next verse. So he waited yet another 7 days and sent out the dove, which did not return again to him anymore. Are you guys with me? He first sent out a raven. Nothing happened, because a raven is a selfish animal. Then he said, well, wait, I want to become sensitive in this thing. The Bible says that the heavens opened when Jesus was baptized. And the Holy Ghost, as like a dove, came out of heaven and sat upon him, rested upon him. The dove speaks of the Holy Ghost. It speaks about the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit. So he sent out a raven, nothing happened. And then he said, no, but wait, I want to become sensitive in this decision. And he sent out a dove. And the dove returned with an olive leaf. Say with me, an olive leaf. The Holy Spirit is the one that brings the anointing upon your life. When you are sensitive, he comes into your life and he brings the anointing, an olive leaf. Then when Noah sent out the dove again, the Bible says that the dove did not return. When you carry the anointing, the Holy Ghost, that sensitivity, it's like when you are obedient, he then goes on. It's not leaving you, but he did what he had to do right there. But it comes with the anointing. When Noah sent out the dove, things shifted. When he sent out the raven, the Bible says the raven went to and fro and nothing happened, until he sent out a dove that could find the anointing. It is the Holy Ghost that brings the anointing upon your life when you are sensitive. What is sensitivity? Everything in your mind, in your body, in your spirit, you have the ability to be sensitive. When they say worship service, some people are standing like this. They're not saved, okay? Then you have people, they are sensitive. They get lost in worship. There's a sensitivity upon them. The avenue for the anointing, for the olive leaf, comes through sensitivity. Say with me, sensitivity. Even how I do a service, and everybody that preach can tell you, Martin that preach can tell you, it's like you have to be guided with the wind. Are you guys with me? All the time. It is, you have to be sensitive. Go with me to the book of John, chapter. I want to close off with this. John chapter number 3, verse 8. And I would have given you 7 importances of sensitivity, but it's fine. I need to pray for people. Are we John 3, verse 8? The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the... There's people that are living in the Spirit, and there are those who are walking in the Spirit. When you walk, it's a higher dimension, walking in the Spirit. But he says, they are like the wind. You don't know where the wind is coming from or where it's going. And he said, like that, it is those who are of the Spirit. They will pop up. We will pop up in Krugersdorp, and people will be thinking, but where are we coming from? You don't know where that person is coming from or where they are going to. Even my schedule. Do you know if I invited to preach at churches, I am always late. You have some preachers, they'll come a half an hour early when they're invited to preach, or when they go to any church. They are pastors. Prophets are always late. I mean, there's not one night we would go to meetings and we're like, you have to speed. I had to be there like 20 minutes ago, or this or that. Because we move by a different sound. If I have to move my schedule back for the pleasing of man, nothing would happen. I have to do this thing by the leading of the Holy Ghost. We could have done Krugersdorp last year if we wanted to, but it's sensitivity to timing. Centurion is sensitivity to timing. I could have planted the church earlier, but we had to be sensitive when it comes to timing. Be sensitive when it comes to the seasons of God upon your life. He might say, but right now I have a time for your season for you to serve. then I'll have a season for you to be lifted or to be exposed and to become bigger. Then I'll have a season for you to minister, or I'll have a season again for you to pull you back. In your relationship with God, you have to have rhythm, and you have to know, but wait, He wants me to draw back or to spend time with Him, or He wants to put my head under the radar and just spend time with Him. Are you guys with Him? You know, that is why as a prophet, it is very difficult for me to stick by a schedule. Because tomorrow I'll be 5 o'clock still up in the morning. Maria and them can wake up in the morning 5. I can't. She can wake up 4, 3 to pray. I'm still awake at that time. It's a different schedule, but it's a sensitivity that every one of you can take and say, I want to apply that now in my life. When you worship, you become sensitive. When we pray for you, become sensitive. Then you can sit at your house and you can watch TV and you just feel there's a tugging in my spirit to go and pray. There's all of a sudden there's a hunger just to go spend time with God. That is now when God begins to draw you close. When we ignore that, that feeling goes away. Everything starts with sensitivity. My prophecies are sensitivity. Are you guys with me? When I would look at somebody, I don't just say that person. No, I would look over a group and I would feel sensitive, this, and then I would see that, or I will do this. Everything is sensitivity. God is about sensitivity. The Holy Ghost will do impossible things upon your life when you are sensitive. Are you guys with me? I want to do something, but let's see, maybe we can. Let's stand to our feet. I want to pray for many right now. And we said we're going to anoint people. But I want to kind of like get one verse. Go with me to Exodus chapter number 23, verse 20, message version. Exodus 23, verse 20, message version. I know I'm late because of the sound and so on. So if they drop the sound eventually when we're going to pray for you, do not think it's strange. Listen to this. In the message version, look at this. Now get yourselves ready. I'm sending my angel. Say with me, an angel. When he's speaking, when the Bible speaks of an angel, it's the angel of the Lord, which comes in the form of Jesus Christ himself, even the Holy Spirit. Are you guys with me? He says, I send my angel ahead of you to guard you in your travels, to lead you. Say with me, to guard. So the sensitivity will bring protection upon your life. He says, to lead you to the place that I've prepared. Sensitivity number two will direct you and guide you as to where to go. Must I take that job? Must I go to those people? Must I do this? Must I do that? Are you guys with me? Must I have this relationship, this boyfriend, this girlfriend? Pay close, listen to this. He says, place I've prepared. Pay close attention. Say with me, pay close attention. Sensitivity. I want you to be focused on this thing. Close attention. Obey Him. Don't go against Him. He won't put up with your rebellions. Next verse. Because He's acting on my authority. But if you obey Him and do everything I tell you, I'll be an enemy to your enemies. When you are sensitive, your job might say, but they're going to call you in and they're going to do this. And you are sensitive the day before. And because you are sensitive and you followed God, you go into, maybe they're calling in and they say, listen here, you're with Leon de Pria. And we have this happening. Are you guys with me? Somebody said to me, a place they rented from, or because you are with Leon de Pria, look, and then they won't get an opportunity. Or, you know, people that have a job, no, you are connected to that false prophet. When you are sensitive and you say, but wait, the anointing is in ECC. And I even go to that meeting, even before you get there, God will begin to be an enemy to your enemies. Then it says, He will fight those who fight you. When my angel goes ahead of you, He leads you to the land of the Amorites. He says, look, He will fight those that want to fight you. When you are a person who is sensitive to my presence, to the anointing, to the Holy Ghost, to the Allos Parakletos, when you are sensitive, even if they put you in the newspapers, or they say blasphemous words to kill you, or churches even do legal charges against you, I will fight them. I will become an enemy to your enemy. And you will see God bring confusion to a people. that is trying to do you damage. Are you guys with me? Wherever you are, just raise your hands for me. Wherever you are, raise your hands. Say with me, an enemy to my enemies. Say he will fight for me. He says, look, if you're sensitive, this is what will happen.
Thank you for joining us on Encounter. For more information, log on to www.encounterchurch.co.za or simply give us a call on Pretoria 012-753-9091. For more resources and updates, simply follow us on social media on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. We'll see you next time on Encounter.